Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you for joining us for service today online. We're so glad to have you, and for some of you, it's your first time. Thank you for checking it out, being a part of it. We just pray it encourages you, that it builds your faith and helps you grow closer to God, because for all of us, that is our goal. And I want to take a moment and thank those who are a part of James River Church, and you've been so faithful in giving your tithes and your offerings, and to those who participated in the Welcome to the Future campaign offering today. You know, we were down in Joplin and seeing the progress on that building and watching what's happening there. What a blessing that's going to be to the city of Joplin. We believe God's going to use it to reach thousands of people. And then at the South Campus, when you see what's happening there, it's really fantastic. It's your generosity that makes that possible. And we believe God has a future for James River that is one of reaching more people than ever before and seeing God do what we've never seen him do before. So thank you so much. We're in a series on the life of Elijah. It's a mini series where we're learning about how God prepares us, how he does a work in our life that makes us fit for the future. You know, even though these are difficult times with record unemployment and economic uncertainty and all the attendant emotions that are a part of a time like this, it's so important for you and I to remember that God is at work. He's working in the world. He's working in the church. He's working in each one of our lives, and he's promised to provide each one of us what we need every single day of our life. And at the same time, I believe as we lean into him, that he is empowering us to make a difference today. And he's preparing us for what he has in store in the days ahead. He's getting us ready so that we'll be fit for the future. So we're looking at the life of Elijah, and we're learning lessons from his life. Today, we're going to learn about the prayer of faith. Now, on your way to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41, and I hope you grab your Bible and you'll take a moment and find chapter 18 in 1 Kings verse 41, or your iPhone or whatever it is that you use to read the Bible so that you can follow along. And maybe even, let me just encourage you to take notes. Don't just listen to it, but one of the things I like to do is I like to write down what I sense the Lord is speaking to my heart. I like to write down the things that really stand out in my mind as I'm hearing a message. And certainly, we have the James River app, and you can follow along on the app, and you can see the notes, you can see the scriptures, you can add in your own notes and be really helpful for going back over the message in the days to come, which I believe helps us take the message and make it a part of our life. So we're headed to 1 Kings chapter 18, but on your way, turn with me to James chapter 5. Now, the verse we're going to look at is associated with prayer for the sick. And in James chapter 5 and verse 16, this is what James says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Here's what James is saying. If you've wronged someone, if you've maybe gossiped about them, or you've done something that you know is not right, James says when you're needing healing, what you need to do is you need to go make it right with the person that you have wronged, confess your fault, own it, because the fact of the matter is, you can't be right with God if you're not right with the people around you. Here's a principle regarding prayer. How you and I treat people around us determines how powerfully we pray. I just mentioned this to you in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Listen to what Peter says. He says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together, She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, listen to this, so your prayers will not be hindered. I can't help but think how many times a wife's broken heart stands between a man and God in terms of answered prayer. Now listen to what James says in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. Now watch this. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What James does is he then illustrates that statement that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and he illustrates it with Elijah the prophet. James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly. Now, as we come to 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to see what James is talking about as we watch Elijah, a man just like us, pray earnestly. And as we look at his life, we're going to learn lessons about the prayer of faith. Here's the first thing I want you to see. The prayer of faith is linked to obedience. In 1 Kings chapter 18, for 3.5 years, it has not rained on the land. And we read this in verse 1, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. There's that phrase again. It's God speaking to Elijah. It's Elijah walking in sensitivity to the Lord. And the word of the Lord comes to him in the third year saying, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. It was a dangerous word. It was a risky word. It was a word that could have cost Elijah his life. But would you notice, Elijah immediately obeyed. There's no record of debate. There's no record of discussion. There's no hesitation. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we have recorded for us conversations of debate and discussion that Elijah has with the Lord about a different subject. But here you watch, and Elijah is immediately obeying. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. If you and I, if we believe, we'll obey. In fact, a real measure of how much we believe God is to look at how much we obey God. You see that concept throughout the Bible. You see it in the life of Abraham, who is the father of our faith. He's the example of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, we read this, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. In the original, it's while he was being called, he obeyed. In other words, it was instant and immediate obedience. One of the surest ways to build our faith is to obey God instantly and immediately. Because the longer you and I wait to obey, often the harder it is to do what God has asked us to do. Delayed obedience to God's word opens the door for doubt, and doubt weakens our faith. One of the reasons why Elijah would later have the faith to call down fire from heaven is because he had cultivated a strong faith through instant and immediate obedience. Think of it. God told him in 1 Kings 17 to go to Ahab, and he did. God told him to go to the brook Cherith, and he did. God told him to go to Zarephath, and he did. God told him to go show himself to Ahab again, and he did. I want to ask you this question. What is God speaking to your heart? Maybe not in this moment, although it could be in this moment. It could be God reminding you of what he said to you. Or maybe you think back in this week or the last month. But when I say those words to you, what is God speaking to you right now? The Holy Spirit is in your heart reminding you of what God has spoken to you. You know, unless I miss my guess, there are some listening today. And the word of the Lord has come to you. God has spoken to your heart, but you have delayed your obedience. And now what's happened is some of you are doubting whether it was God at all who was speaking. But when we respond in obedience, we say, God, you've asked me to do it. I'm going to do it. What happens is our faith is strengthened. Faith is linked to obedience. Start obeying today, and you will sense in your heart a greater capacity to believe God. Because you know what happens when people don't obey? Then when we're going to pray those big prayers where we really need God to do something miraculous, the enemy comes and he starts saying all kinds of things like, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And he begins to accuse us. But if we've been obeying God, it makes it much harder for him to accuse us and to work against those faith-filled prayers that bring about God's miraculous provision. Faith is linked to obedience. The prayer of faith begins with obedience. A second thing I want you to notice, the prayer of faith is based on hearing the inaudible. It's based on hearing what you and I humanly can't hear. Look at it in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Now, this is not like you out on the golf course and you're playing and it's sunny and there are clouds on the horizon and you can hear some thunder in the distance. Now, in this particular case, in 1 Kings 18, there has not been a cloud in the sky. There's no visible sign of rain. But Elijah's walking by faith. And because he's walking by faith, he hears the inaudible. One man put it this way, faith sees the invisible, faith hears the inaudible, faith does the impossible. Faith is like a spiritual antenna. It's tuned to God's frequency so that it hears what others don't. Faith hears the inaudible. What that means is God is speaking to people, and he's speaking all the time. In the New International Version, over 300 times, it says these words, and the Lord said. Maybe you're wondering, well, how does God speak, and how do I know if it's God speaking? Let me just say this. The number one way you and I will hear from God is by reading his word. God speaks to us through his word. Here's how that works. You're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden as you're reading, it's as if a verse jumps off the page at you. Or you feel the Lord speaking to your heart and saying, that verse is for you, for this situation in your life. And then what you do is you hang on to that verse. You highlight that verse. You write that verse down. You maybe memorize that verse. You think about that verse. You go back and look at that verse because God has spoken to you to build faith in your heart. Sometimes God speaks through that still small voice, and we're going to learn about that next time when we look at chapter 19. Sometimes God's speaking is this prompting. You just feel you can't get something off of your mind, or you can't get someone off of your mind. You need to call them. You need to send them a note. You need to send them a text. You need to invite them to be watching the service online. You need to check on them. You need to buy them groceries. You need to ask how they're doing. I mean, all of those things can be prompting from the Lord. Sometimes we're led by the Lord and we don't even realize it at the time, only to look back on the situations in our life and realize God was leading me at that time. He was helping me. The prayer of faith is based on what God speaks. When you're getting ready to pray for someone, let me encourage you to do this. If you can, pause for just a moment. And ask the Lord, God, what is it that you want me to pray for in this situation? How is it that you want me to pray? I'm not saying that every time you'll feel something or sense something, but there will be times that you do, and it will make all the difference in seeing God work powerfully in that situation. The prayer of faith is based on what God speaks. Number three, the prayer of faith accomplishes the impossible. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 42, we read this. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Now, it's certainly true that prayer is primarily a posture of the heart, but there is something in Elijah's posture that speaks to the intensity of his prayer. Listen, he wasn't laying back on the sofa, kind of half-heartedly praying. There's an intensity to his prayer that starts with this posture of curling up, as it were, to seek God, to remove distraction, to, with all of his being, call on God. And as he begins to pray, I want you to notice there's an expectancy in his prayer. He's not sitting there praying or kneeling there praying, wondering if God is going to do it. He is praying, expecting that God is going to do something. There hadn't been a cloud in the sky, but he's expecting an answer to his prayer. Look at it in verse 43. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." He's praying with such expectancy that he sends the servant back to look seven times. He persistently prayed. He didn't give up. If he had stopped praying after three times, nothing would have happened. If he had stopped praying after four times, nothing would have happened. Think of it. If he prays six times and stops, there wouldn't be any rain. That's why you and I have to keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. There are some of you, and God wants to do something so big, so fantastic in your life, and he's wanting to, and he's willing to, but you have to keep praying. Don't stop now. You're closer to God's answer and his miracle in your life than you can possibly imagine. And then, to be honest, there's sometimes we so know in our heart something is so the will of God that we pray and we pray and we pray. I know we've done that as a staff. There's land over at the West Campus, and I so sense it was God's will for us to have that land, that as a staff, we would take afternoons, we'd go over there and pray. We would circle the land and pray. We'd anoint the land with oil and pray. We would pray and pray and pray, and we didn't stop praying until finally that land was ours. Sometimes you just have to keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying to see God do what only he can do. I think back, and it's happened so many times in Debbie in my life, and happened in the life of the church. Whenever I drive on that ramp by the South Campus, I think that is an example of praying and praying and praying and praying and praying God's will into existence. Don't stop. Whatever it is you need from the Lord, pray, then pray, then pray. And every time, pray with expectancy. Don't become discouraged because the answer hasn't come yet. Every time you pray, pray with that expectant faith that says, today may be the day. Now look at it in verse 44. And the seventh time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." So Elijah sees this little tiny cloud the size of a man's hand, and Elijah has such faith, he has such expectancy, that he's telling his servant to go tell the king, "Listen, you need to get out of here because the rain is going to be so hard, it will overtake you." Faith sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. Faith does the impossible. And while the servant was telling Ahab to hitch up the chariots, look at it in verse 45. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. God answered Elijah's prayer of faith. You say, well, that's a great story, but come on, I'm not Elijah, I'm me. And I don't know that it would happen for me. Back to James chapter 5. Elijah was a man just like us. In the original, it's homopathes. He was made of the same stuff. He was flesh and blood. He wasn't some stained glass super saint. He was a person just like us. As we're gonna see, he was a person who could get afraid. He was a person who could get discouraged. He was a person who could get lonely. He had real feelings. He had real thoughts, just like you and I do. He was a person just like us. But here's what he did. He prayed earnestly. He was kneeling down. He was praying over and over 7 times. The ESV puts it this way. He prayed fervently. The Message says, Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard. In the original language, in the Greek, it says this, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed. You could read it this way, he prayed in his praying. The fact of the matter is, there can be in our lives times when we're praying prayers that aren't really prayer. In other words, there can be a prayer so lethargic, so half-hearted, so indifferent, so lazy, that it almost begs not to be answered. But Elijah prayed. He prayed in his praying. He prayed with this energy, with this fervency, with this faith. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. His prayer brought rain. And would you notice as well, his prayer brought fruitfulness. And James reminds us of that story from the life of Elijah to illustrate that statement that we read at the beginning of the message in verse 16. James writes this, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Your prayer of faith can accomplish the impossible. So let me ask you this question. What impossibility are you facing today? What miracle do you need God to do in your life or in a circumstance you're aware of? Can I just remind you, he's a God who delights in doing the impossible. And he wants to build our faith, and he wants to work in us, and he wants to show us the power of the prayer of faith to make us fit for the future. He answers prayers today to build our faith for bigger things tomorrow. And God wants to answer prayers you're praying today. Right now, I'd like us to pray. And I don't know what need you're facing, but as an act of faith, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. Right where you're at, as you're watching this message, I'm asking you to lift your hand and to say, God, I have a need, and I'm raising my hand in surrender on the one hand to you, acknowledging you're the only one who can really help me, and at the same time, reaching out to take hold of that which you want to give to me. I'm believing you're gonna provide for me.